In the evenings, people would start walking up and down the road to visit one another. Whole families would come, and their dogs would be coming with them, and our dogs would start barking, and all of a sudden, they come up, and we'd probably have some watermelon someplace around. They'd cut up the watermelon, and they would visit in the cool of the evening.
Stay good day. Welcome, my friends, to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. On today's program, we'll hear from a Kiowa elder who grew up in Oklahoma. We think you'll enjoy listening as he takes us back to his early days and his recollection of what church life was like when he was a young boy.
My name is Willie Doito, and I'm from the Kiowa tribe. I was given the Kiowa name Pota, which means buffalo eye. And I often wonder, why they give me the name buffalo eye? Because I've seen pictures of buffaloes and their eyes, and I've seen stuffed buffaloes. And my, I didn't cherish that until later on I was told that what it really means is somebody that has an eye for the choice buffalo can find a good buffalo. And so I felt better about that. But anyway, that's from my Kiowa heritage. And I grew up in a pastor's home. I was a late child, and my parents were quite old, and they just talk Kiowa all the time around the house. But I grew up in Hobart, Oklahoma. Our church was out in the country. All the churches in those days were out in the country, close to the creeks. I guess our people just naturally lived along, camped on creeks and running water. So therefore, all our people lived along Elk Creek. And right just east of Elk Creek, up on a hill, was our church. And so you would see, I didn't, but I would hear the older people say that people would be coming from every direction along the creek on buckboards and wagons, and they would come to Elk Creek Baptist Church up on the hill, and they would bring their food. They would come in the mornings, and they would have morning service, and then they would eat. And then they would have afternoon service at 2 p.m., and then they would eat again, and then they would have the evening service at maybe 7:30. And the thing I remember about that, they ring the bell early in the morning. They'd be ringing the bell as the people are coming in. And they come in every direction, and the older ladies are Kiowa ladies. They would have those old dresses and apron that they'd wrap around their waist, and they'd have those little hankies hanging out, and they'd have granny shoes on and braids, and they would get off their cars. Of course, in my time, there were cars. And they would come, and they would cry, and they would hug each other. And I think, well, they just saw each other last Sunday. But boy, they were just happy to see each other. I was a spoiled brat. I didn't get to have to do anything but feed the dogs. We'd have a lot of dogs. Oh, everybody lived, like I said, out in the country in those days, and everybody had a lot of dogs. I guess strays would come up, and they'd feed them. And so in the cool of the evening, because Oklahoma, where I grew up in Hobart, was pretty warm and humid, hot. And in the evenings, people would start walking up and down the road to visit one another. Whole families would come, and their dogs would be coming with them, and our dogs would start barking, and all of a sudden, they'd come up, and we'd probably have some watermelon someplace around. They'd cut up the watermelon, and they would visit in the cool of the evening. People just were close in those days, and they could talk just about everything. They would all be out sometimes people had brush arbors yet around their houses, and they would be sitting in the brush arbor and eating watermelon and talking. And us kids, our toys, we would have, like, there were so many tumbleweeds around. Tumbleweeds would blow across the fields, and we had this game, us kids. We'd have our sticks, and they were our fancy lances. And when those tumbleweeds would start blowing across, we'd say, "There go the buffalo." And we would take off across the field, and we would run up, and if you could throw that stick, that lance, into that, through that tumbleweed, and it would stick into that, the dirt there, that you kill that buffalo, it's laying there ready to be butchered. So anyway, that was kind of something that we would do, keep us busy. I was 11 years old when my older brother, I began to kind of idolize him, because seems like my mother just really thought the world of him. He went off to the Marines. My, he comes home just handsome as can be in that green outfit, and he brings home things from Japan and everything. And gosh, I just thought, this is great. I'm going to be kind of like him. I'm going to join the military as soon as I get old enough, you know. And he was a singer. I mean, he sung in quartets, and he was a tenor singer. He just seemed to have everything. And he got discharged in 1957, just around Memorial Weekend. He got discharged. And he come home. He was just handsome as can be. I just a little 11 year older, and I was watching him. And he went out, and he was making up for lost time with his buddies. And they were out drinking, and they got into a wreck, and he was killed. He suffered a massive head injury. And that really traumatized me. I think that was the closest death in the family that I had experienced at that time. And so I guess I realized that on your own strength, and it doesn't really get it for you either. God asks us to live a certain way, and when we go against that, we're going against what he has designed for us in our lives. Sin has a way, that's from the evil one, has a way of making you go further than you intended. Has a way of making you stay longer than you should, maybe spending more than you anticipated, and there is no reward in that. Just leaves you empty, just leaves you with no hope. God says wages of sin is death. We can be alive, but we can be dead to living a wonderful life. But you know, there's going to be a time when we leave this world, and then we're going to eternally be separated from God. Nothing good can come of that. Nothing good comes of being separated from God in this life. But when we're eternally separated, he has prepared a place, a terrible place. And I just remember about the man that cried out, and he knew where he was. He was very conscious. He was in hell. And he could see. He could see far off. And those that go there are going to be able to see where they are, and very conscious of the pain and the torment, the agony. Oh, how many words tell what he was going through, the suffering. And it was for eternity. It is for eternity. He looks up and he sees, and he says, "Send Lazarus to come and dip his finger in some water and cool my tongue, because I'm in agony. I'm burning. This is the wages of the sin that he's being paid. and it's for eternity. And I'll tell you, that's a place to shun. Today is the day of salvation. Today, when a person is still alive, choose not to go there, but choose Jesus Christ. I believe that the Holy Spirit begins to start convicting you. You know right from wrong. Then you begin to realize that God has a standard. God has a life that He has created you for. And you're not living that kind of life. And I begin to feel a pull. God was telling me that it was time for me to make a decision, an eternal decision. Our church always had revivals around Christmas time or the New Year's. And we were having such a revival. And I was 12 years of age. We were sitting in the revival that time, me and several friends, actually two others, and we were listening to the sermon and began to make more sense than it has. Growing up, you hear all of these stories. But that night, it was as though the Lord was speaking to me personally, saying, now that you've come to this point, I have designed for you a tremendous life, and you need to start moving toward that. You need to make a decision. And I talked to the other two boys. I says, I'm going to go forward. And they says, I believe we're going to join you tonight. We want to also go forward during this invitation. We didn't know all the terms. And we didn't actually know too much, except there was a movement in our hearts to go forward. And years later, we began to realize what all was happening in our lives. But all three of us, and all of a sudden, I stopped and I started wrestling with this thing. I says, well, I'm not for sure what's going on. I'm only 12 years old. I'm just the Indian boy.
It doesn't matter whether you're a child or an adult, a native or a non-native person. We're all in need of God's mercy and forgiveness. What about you? Have you felt the weight of your sin and wondered if you could be set free? That's why God sent Jesus, to take your sin, your penalty on Himself at the cross, so that you could be forgiven and set free. He offers you this and so much more if by faith you will place your trust in Jesus as your Savior. God tells us in His Word, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you haven't humbled yourself before God yet, why not now? Have any questions about what you've heard? Visit our website, withoutreservation.com, and click on the tab, New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. That's The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota, 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. And you can also find us on Facebook at Without Reservation. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. There's more to Willie's story, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.